This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. As part of their senior seminar, a group of Middlebury College students is taking a close look at the Vermont dairy industry. One team of environmental studies students took on the issue of farm viability and decided to relate their farm findings in a series of three podcasts that they call Cow Talk. I recently spoke with two members of that team about their project, seniors Christina Ohl and Ginevra Wetmore. Christina explained what led them to make a podcast about dairy farming and the future of dairy.
The class was something that's part of the environmental studies program at Middlebury, so there's a tradition that the final year that you are a major in environmental studies, you take the senior seminar in environmental studies, and the theme for the class always changes, and it's actually based off of student votes. So we're given a couple of options at the beginning of the semester, and we vote on one. So the class voted on doing dairy farming in Vermont and looking at a broad spectrum of different issues within that. So our group was on dairy farm viability, but there were a variety of different projects that were also going on at the same time in the class.
Like the environmentalism issues and pollution. I mean, I think some of that was tackled as well, right?
There was water quality as well as biomethane digesters and migrant justice specifically.
So your group was tackling viability, and you start each podcast by talking about how important farming is to the Vermont economy, but also questioning its future. And you interviewed a bunch of farmers about what their lives are like and what they see as the future of farming and how that's going to work and succession plans and, you know, lots of stuff that we don't necessarily hear about when we're just driving along looking at the farms. Ginevra, you've actually had experience on dairy farms. You work on dairy farms?
Yeah, I work on one near my house. I live on a small sheep farm, and then I work on Billings Farm Dairy. So it's kind of a farm open to the public. That's how they survive. And it's also a working dairy farm.
Do you think there are misconceptions or stereotypes about farmers in Vermont that you want to clear up?
I think maybe there's a certain stereotype of a lack of awareness or lack of knowledge. We associate nowadays farming with water quality issues. And I think that a lot of the people I talk to don't realize how aware farmers are of these issues. They know what's happening. They're really intelligent. So that's probably the biggest one. But a lot of them, there are a whole bunch.
Christina, what do you think about what you learned during this course that surprised you or that you didn't know about farming and dairy?
Well, I agree with Ginevra about the stereotype of a lack of knowledge. I think also related to that, we had a stereotype or sort of this misconception going in that dairy farmers are very isolated and that there's not really a lot of communication going on between them or between other parties. And that was something we were also surprised by and that we learned about, is that dairy farmers, along with also being very knowledgeable of what's going on, they're in communication with each other all the time about different solutions and different things they can do to improve.
Let's listen to a little bit of one of the interviews that you conducted. And one of the topics that you covered, as I mentioned, was the plan of succession from parents to children, or from who's going to take over the farm once the current farmers are too old or would like to retire. So this is Jeep Madison, and he's an organic dairy farmer from Shoreham, and his son is eventually going to take over the farm.
When we get the final milk check of the month, we sit down and settle up. He has to pay for his grain, but we pay for everything else, like his vet bills. Before he knows it, he'll have a pile of equity. That's when he can buy the cows and rent the farm from us.
Ginevra, what did you hear from farmers beyond just Jeep's comments there about this idea of who's going to get the farm when they're too old to run it?
In general, farmers do seem to want the farm to stay in the family and to stay as a farm. But they also recognize that initially a lot of them didn't go straight into farming. They left. They left and did something else, and then they came back and they settled into it and decided that was what they wanted to do. So it's certainly not a forced future for their children, you know, but it's scary then because there's no guarantee that the farm is going to continue to be a farm.
Christina, what would you add?
A lot of the farmers emphasized that they wanted their children to do what they wanted to do, and that their own path had been that they had left and come back and decided that this is what they wanted to do. But they also emphasized how important it is to really start the conversation early, to make sure they're really talking about it. Are you interested in coming back to the farm? How are we going to go through this? What's the process we want to take? Because it's not something you can do in a quick period of time. And all of them were saying, you know, it was a 10-year process or more. So,
did everybody you interview have a succession plan, or were there any who said, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen?
we were surprised that almost everyone we talked to had a plan or had already started the process, which was something we didn't expect either. We also expected that some people were struggling with this, or we had heard a lot of statistics about there being a lot of older farmers who couldn't find younger successors. And we think maybe it's possible that just because the people we talked to happen to have the time to talk to us, and maybe there were bigger farms, that they had a plan in place, or it was just a big operation, so they had thought about it more than smaller farms, but we're not sure why.
Did you reach out to smaller farmers and they just didn't have the time, or how did you even choose who to talk to?
Well, our partner, we partner with the Agency of Agriculture, Ryan Patch, and he provided us with a list of farmers, and that ranged organic to inorganic, small, medium, large, and definitely the people who responded to us. We contacted everyone, but the people who responded, I'm sure, were the people who had the time and the resources. So once again, you know, in our podcast, you won't find, we didn't talk to farmers who are really at the end of the rope, who are about to go out of business, because those aren't the ones that have the time to speak with other people.
And in the end, it was, I think, 9 farmers you talked to, is that right?
Yep.
Or 9 farm families, at least.
Yeah.
One of the other issues that we do often hear about and that you talked about in the podcasts was this issue of diversification and how farmers are dealing with what to do beyond just dairy. And let's hear a little clip here from Steve Cahart of West Addison.
One of our weaknesses is that we have all of our eggs in one proverbial basket. So we're not really very diversified at all. We get paid for the milk that we sell every day, and that's really it. And I think that going forward in the future is, what can we do to kind of broaden our income stream to help us so that when we have times of low prices that we can kind of insulate ourselves or help us a little bit so that we're not so susceptible to those downturns.
You can hear Steve there kind of wondering aloud about how to do that. What did you hear from farmers who have been thinking about how to diversify or who have done it?
Diversification, I think you hear a lot as a solution to farming struggles, but when you actually start to think about what that looks like, it becomes really complicated really quickly, because now all of a sudden you have to be an absolute expert in not only dairy farming, but in whatever field you take on. So you have to have a lot of skills and a lot of expertise in multiple arenas. And I remember Steve, I was on that interview, and Steve definitely kind of acknowledged that fact in terms of, you know, what else do you expand to? Where do you get the skill set for that? Yeah, it's a really difficult question.
So when you talk to people like Steve about that, did you get a sense that this question of diversification was something that everybody agreed was necessary but difficult? Or did some people say, no, dairy is enough, you know, that diversification is not the answer to sustainability?
Definitely there is not a consensus that for diversification was the answer. We read a lot of articles in preparation for this, a lot of academic articles and otherwise, and you read about these solutions like going organic, switching your dairy to organic, or diversifying. But in reality, when you sit down and talk to farmers, that is, you know, there is no consensus about what the right direction is to go in.
I want to play one other cut of tape from your podcast here, and this is Jeep Madison again.
Fireman's been good to us. You know, a lot of people will never admit fireman's been good, but you look around and see a few Cadillacs parked here and there. And so fireman's been good to quite a few people.
I thought that was really interesting because, you know, you do hear a lot about the struggle of farming, but there's also money to be made. And Christina, maybe you can expand a little bit on that concept of making money in farming, because, you know, I think that is one of the areas where there's probably a lot of question marks about who's making money, how much money, is it a lucrative field? And here's Jeep saying, you know, not everybody's struggling. What do you think?
I think it definitely depends on a lot of factors, and a lot of the farmers recognize that, yes, it's a difficult field, but if you learn how to play it, if you learn how to ride the roller coaster, you could say, then you can be successful. And a lot of farmers we talked to had come up with some pretty interesting solutions to the challenges that they'd been struggling with. I mean, we talked to one farmer who'd invested in robotic milking, which had really helped them a lot. And we talked to Monument Farms, and they have this really interesting market strategy of producing their milk and selling it themselves. And so there's definitely ways to be successful in the dairy business.
What do you want people to know? I mean, you put these out not just as not just within your classwork and sharing with your classmates, but this is a podcast that theoretically anybody could listen to, and you've produced them. You know, you've done a lot of work to make these accessible to people beyond just your fellow classmates and your professors. So what's your aim here in trying to make sure people have a better understanding of the dairy industry? Ginevra?
A lot of communication is being dropped. So farmers communicate well with each other, but the public actually really doesn't have a very clear idea of what dairy farming entails at all. And certainly a lot of regulators, like the Agency of Agriculture, would like to hear more perspectives from farmers that they're missing out on. So I think our main goal is trying to at least help pick up some of those gaps and kind of make that connection between different parties.
Christina?
That was what we went into the project hoping, was that we identified one of the main ways we could help the industry was if we just had better communication between all parties and increasing the knowledge between all parties on what's really going on in everybody's perspective. And we thought, what better way to do that than through a podcast? So,
Ginevra has worked on dairy farms. Would any of the rest of your classmates or Christina, would you ever consider going into dairy?
Well, it's a difficult question because it seems like a really rewarding job, but it also seems like a challenging job and one that you definitely need to have a lot of expertise in. I was really impressed with the dairy farmers I talked to, and I don't know if I could do the same thing they do, but I'm really glad that they do it.
Christina Ohl and Ginevra Wetmore are both Middlebury seniors, and we have a link to their podcast that they did with other classmates. It's called Cow Talk, and you can find the link at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition. Thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.